listening to this week's message from San Marcos Community Church in San Marcos, Texas. For more information, visit www.sanmarcoscommunitychurch.org.
Have you figured out that the Lord is fun? I don't know if you... Did anybody besides me get this perception in their mind that God is just this angry old gray-headed guy up in heaven? And pretty soon, once you begin to follow him and begin to read this book that we look into, you begin to see that, yes, there is a chasm between mankind, unsaved, and that chasm is breached through Jesus, but in Jesus, he really likes us. Do you understand that? In fact, I think the Bible says, while we were enemies, he loved us. So we're going to get to that in just a minute. I'm going to ask you for a little help here. Psalm 89, I think it's like, this is not our text for the day, but it says, happy are those who know the festal shout. I don't remember which version that says it like that. Let me look it up. Psalm 89, verse 15. It says, blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you. Well, that's NIV. That's a little bit weak, because the word actually acclaim you is it says, blessed are those who know, I think it's New American says the festal shout, but really how that's translated in a number of other passages, the same word, is it says, happy are those, or blessed are those, who know the war cry. Do you know what a war cry is? Do you know how to do a war cry? Please stand. We're going to do a war cry. John, would you turn my mic down a little bit? Okay, on the count of three, let's say Jesus Christ reigns, all right? Wait a second. We're not saying it, Jesus Christ reigns, okay? Don't do it like that. You'll figure it out. On the count of three, let's let it rip. Jesus Christ reigns. Ready? One, two, three. Jesus Christ reigns! Now, I promise you, the spiritual realm heard that. One more time. One, two, three. Jesus Christ reigns! Third time. One, two, three. Jesus Christ reigns! All right, it's impossible to be bummed out and shout to the Lord, because the Bible says, happy are those who know the war cry. And every now and then, you can be seated. Every now and then, you know, when all those circumstances are coming on you, I don't know if you have a closet or a garage or go for it. Do you ever just drive down the street? You know, I don't know if you guys commute to Austin, if any of you guys do that, but do you ever just drive and then you're just singing or shouting at the top of your lungs? No one else can hear you, but when they drive by and they see your mouth moving like that and your eyes bulging out and your blood vessels, you know, like wild, they go, what's he doing? Well, you're just shouting things in the spiritual realm. And my purpose is, not only does he deserve the war cry and the festal shout, but secondly, it puts a happiness and a joy within our hearts that I think it's good for us. All right, I want to do one other thing. And either this is going to work or it's just going to be a waste of our time. In other words, it'll fall flat. But I'm going to step out, and y'all, I'm going to step off the stage, figuratively speaking, and y'all, okay, here's what we're doing. I really believe in this thing called honor. In the Old Testament, as well as in the New Testament, there's a principle that's honor. and honor is the same in both cases, in the Hebrew in the Old Testament and the Greek in the New Testament. It's the same word is translated honor and glory. And I really believe this: if we will sow honor, we'll reap glory. If we ever do you guys ever pray for revival? Do you ask the Lord to do something amazing in our city? Do you ask him to just come in power and glory? I don't know what glory looks like, but it looks like more than what we are used to seeing. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so when we're asking the Lord to show up himself, I just finished reading a book about the Welsh revival. And if you've never read that, I really encourage you to read about the Welsh revival. But anyway, there's something that showed up in their cities that made a difference over the whole land there. And my suggestion is to us that if we will sow honor, we'll reap glory, because those words are interchangeable. Now, that's just my opinion about that. But I just think honor, it does something to the Holy Spirit. In other words, God, you know the scriptures that said, by this will all men know that you're my disciples, by your love, okay? That's Jesus speaking in the book of John. I don't know which chapter that is. But anyway, then think about, let's think about one of the Psalms of Ascent, where it says, oh, how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. There, it's like the precious oil that flowed down, the anointing oil that flowed down over Aaron and went down his beard and down to the hem of his garments. And there, the Lord commands the blessing. Now, I would like the Lord to command the blessing in San Marcos, Texas. I would love that. But it's going to look like something. So we want to look for, so those two passages that I just referenced there are when we dwell together in unity. And there is something, now this is not what I'm supposed to talk about today, but I'm going for something, and here it is. I'm going to ask you for about 2 or 3 minutes. I'm just going to let you guys do something for 2 or 3 minutes. Now this is what I want you to do. I want you to start looking around at the people that are here. Look around, and when your attention is drawn to someone, or something just wells up within your heart, I would like you to honor them, or speak a word of encouragement to them, or a word of thanks to them. Let's just do this for 2 or 3 minutes. John, if you'll just put that on pause, please. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We love you. We love you, Jesus. We love you because you first loved us. So we thank you. Lord, it's your word. You show us about yourself in that word, and we ask for you to reveal yourself in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can go to our text for today is Joshua chapter 20 verses 1 through 6. So just put your finger there. For a few minutes, I have a visual that I would like us to do this morning. Underneath some of your chairs are little white pieces of paper that says, sins that nailed Jesus to the cross. If there's not enough, steal the one from the chair of the person in front of you. There you go. But at some point, as we talk today, would you just circle the groups of sin that you have wrestled and that you have struggled and that you have yielded to the Lord, that you've given to Jesus. At some point, you can just do this at your, if you need a pen, one of these guys, are there pens up here? You can, there's pens in the back anyway. If you need a pen, you can just ask the guys or borrow your neighbor's pen. But you just work on that on your own while we talk here today, because we're going to do something with those in a few moments. I want to read to you out of the book of Luke. This is the 24th chapter. You'll know the story. Do you remember the guys that met Jesus and walked along the road to Emmaus? And they didn't know who he was. I don't know how that quite works, but they didn't know who he was until he broke bread in their presence there. But as they walked, they told him about the difficult things that had been happening in Jerusalem. And then he begins speaking to them. In verse 25, he says, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." And later on, after he had made himself known and they recognized him, down in verse 32, they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" I don't know about you, but I would have loved to have been in on that Bible class taught by Jesus himself as he explained all the stuff in that Old Testament written in the Psalms, the prophets, the law about the King of Kings. And he said, "Oh, foolish, why were you so slow of heart to believe?" Well, I personally think that this Old Testament has a lot of pictures of the wonderful coming Messiah that Jesus actually fulfilled. And so I want us to just briefly, for a few moments this morning, I want us to look at a picture, and I want us to look and see Jesus in it. And it's in Joshua chapter 20. It's just the story of the cities of refuge. And it says this: "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'Tell the Israelites to designate the cities of refuge as I instructed you through Moses, so that anyone who kills a person accidentally and unintentionally may flee there and find protection from the avenger of blood. And when he flees to one of these cities, he is to stand in the entrance of the city gate and to state his case before the elders of that city. Then they are to admit him into their city and give him a place to live with them. And if the avenger of blood pursues him, they must not surrender the one accused, because he has killed his neighbor unintentionally and without malice aforethought. And he is to stay in that city until he has stood trial before the assembly and until the death of the high priest who is serving at that time. Then he may go back to his own home in the town from which he fled." Now let's bow our heads. Lord, we just thank you for your word. Lord, would you open it up to us like you did with your disciples on that road to Emmaus. Open our minds and our hearts that we see wonderful things from your law. We love you, Lord. We want to know you. We want you to grant us a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we'll be awed by you, that we'll see you, that you'll capture our total affection and our hearts, Lord. We want you to amaze us. We want you to do something amazing in this city. We want you to go beyond what we ask or think. We want you to do things, Lord, that will totally... We don't want you to do status quo. We're not interested in status quo in San Marcos. Lord, we want amazing things. And we want you to capture our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody say amen. 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 All right. I chose this passage because I want us to just look at this story for just a few moments. And I want to say, I don't know what Jesus talked to those guys. I don't know how far of a walk it was, but it would have been a pretty amazing Old Testament survey class on a road to Emmaus. I don't know how far in miles that distance was, but I would have loved to have walked that path with Jesus. Now, there are a lot of stories in this book that Jesus could have said, well, you know, it was written about me like this. But if you don't look deeper, sometimes you just read your Old Testament. You know, that's the scripture they had until they received insight and began writing the New Testament that we read so much today. And so I really believe that there's insight about the King of Kings if we'll just look into that book. And here's one story just in itself. And it says, he began to tell, the Lord told Joshua, build 6 cities in the promised land so that when any one of the children of Israel, when they took their place in the inheritance of God and they lived somewhere, maybe they were farmers, maybe they lived in cities, I don't know where they lived, but if anyone ever made a mistake and killed someone without malice aforethought, then they could run to a city of refuge and find safety there. Now, there's a lot more in that passage than we think, and I believe it's this. There's three inescapable realities that we're going to look for, and the first is this. The first is just that an offense happened. Now, I'm going to step out a little bit more and say, beyond just this element that it's an unintentional killing of someone else, and I'm going to broaden it a little bit just to say the offenses happen. And if you haven't figured this out, we're guilty ourselves before the Lord. Have you figured that out? You see, their offenses, the Bible actually says it's impossible, but that offenses don't happen. But here it's saying, in this, we just want to say offenses. Sometimes we build this chasm between ourselves and God just because of the sin in our own lives. And I want you to know, he came to bridge that chasm, and we'll talk about that in just a few moments. But I want to point out that offenses happen, and we're guilty. Do you understand? We're guilty. We're guilty of unintentional things. I'm guilty of intentional things. I've been following the Lord for 30 years. And if you were to ask me, Tom, are you ever stubborn? Do you ever, in stubbornness, fail to obey the Lord? Do you understand that apart from the blood of Jesus, that makes us toast? We're guilty. In fact, I find it quite interesting. 5 times in the book of Acts, when the Lord says something once, it's good. When he says it twice, listen. When he says it 3 times and 4 times and 5 times, do you think that he's saying something? 5 times he says, when Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, when they were preaching again in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 5, Acts chapter 7, 5 times when the gospel is being proclaimed, 3,000 got saved in Acts 2, and he talks about the Savior. Peter's talking about the Savior, and he says these words, whom you crucified. Acts chapter 3, when the lame man is healed, and so a crowd gathers, and Peter and John are speaking again, they say, you killed the author of life. Acts chapter 4, when they are being threatened in front of the Sanhedrin, he says to those rulers of Israel, he says, whom you crucified. And then 2 more times, he says the same thing. I'm suggesting to us that offense happens and we're guilty. You already know it. Do you understand we're guilty? But he doesn't leave us there. I want to say, I'll take us to the second inescapable reality, and it's this. Number 1, there is an offense. Number two, there is an avenger of blood. The Old Testament uses it in those terms. There's an avenger of blood. The New Testament, he's actually referred to as the destroyer. In Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, talking about the destroyer of the firstborn. This is what I want to point out. Now, Lord, help. There is an adversary who has a legitimate and legal claim to our lives because of our sin. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. There is an avenger of blood that has rightful claim to our lives in the sin, because of the sinful nature and because of the sinful things that we've done and because of the offense. He's got a legitimate claim. I don't know if you guys, have you ever read or The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? What did Edmund do that got himself in trouble? He betrayed his brother. Is that what you said, somebody? Oh, and I can't hear you. But anyway, he betrayed his brother and sister. He ate, what is that called? Turkish delight. And because of that witch, whatever her name is, she had legal right to him. Now, Lord, there is an avenger of blood. When on the 10th, because the New Testament equates this story as well, but at the time of that 10th plague, when God told Moses to kill the Passover lamb and to tell the nation of Israel to slay the lamb, eat it standing up with their feet on, because they would be moving out. They would be headed for the promised land. They would be leaving Egypt. And then he said, kill the lamb. The lamb had to be without spot or wrinkle. They couldn't just go to their flocks and find, you know, their worst valued lamb. That's a picture in itself right there of Jesus. He was without spot, without wrinkle. There was no sin found in him. But the Israelites, they had to take a bowl, pour the blood into the bowl, take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the bowl, and then what were they supposed to do with that, the hyssop and the blood? They were supposed to paint the doorposts and the lintel of their houses. And if they were faithful and obedient to put that blood on the doorposts and the lintel of their houses, who would pass over that night? The death angel that the Bible actually calls the destroyer in Hebrews. I am suggesting to us that there is an avenger of blood who has a legitimate claim to our lives. And if the blood of Jesus is not applied to the doorposts and the lintels of our hearts, the death angel has a legitimate claim on us, on our lives, because we have failed to obey fully the law of God and to follow Jesus. Now, that's impossible for anyone to do, is to fully obey Jesus. Therefore, we're all in need of the blood of Jesus Christ on the lintel and the doorposts of our lives. Do you understand that? Because the avenger of blood, I would not want to be outside the body of Christ. Do you understand where your neighbors stand if they've not applied the blood of Jesus to their lives? The adversary has a legal right to them. The soul that sins shall surely die. Well, the offense is inevitable. The avenger of blood has a legal right to us. But that's not the end of the story. There's a city of refuge that God tells Joshua to build. Six of them. Now let's put ourselves in the feet or in the shoes of someone who's done something that he didn't mean to do. And he knows that the avenger of blood will soon be on his trail. And so this person, if you'll just think about it now, let's say two men are in a field, they're working. In fact, you know, there's three or four passages that talk about the cities of refuge. And in one case, it just says if two are working and one drops a stone, a rock or something, and wounds or kills a man, and he didn't mean to, then this person who has done this deed, he knows he has one choice. He can't go home because the next of kin has the legal right to take his life. And what does the law say? An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, life for life. But what the law was not able to do because it was impotent, Jesus does for us. So this person, he has to leave his home, he has to leave his city, he has to leave his family, he has to leave his children, he has to leave his everything that's dear to him, and if he doesn't want to die, there's one place he can go, and he knows it. And it's the city of refuge. And so he takes off. Now, with that picture is this one that when it becomes known that someone has been killed, in this case, in the passage of Scripture here is talking about unintentionally, but I'm going to suggest to you that Jesus has made the door broader than just unintentional sin. And we all need that help. But what I'm saying here is the next of kin it's like his responsibility is to chase that one down and take that life. It's avenging blood. Well, the avenger, now, he gets on his trail. And I don't know. And he chases him. And the person knows that life only, he can only save his life by making it to that city before the avenger catches him. And so he's listening. He's turning around and watching behind him. He's keeping an eye out. I don't know the distance that he may have to travel, but he knows that he's fair game for the avenger of blood, because the avenger has that legitimate claim upon his life. Now, I don't know what he's left behind, but he knows the scripture. And he knows that if he can make it there first, and this brings us to our third inescapable reality, there is a city of refuge. And Jesus is pictured in several ways within that city. The first is, Jesus is that city of refuge. And those who can run into him, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into him and are safe. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High will rest under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. And so this person who has made this mistake, this person who has committed this sin, if I just put it that way, this person who has left all that he loves in order to flee to the city of refuge, this person is headed for that city because he knows only there will he find safety. And so he heads for the city of refuge. And when he gets there, and I don't know how close the avenger of blood is behind him, but he knows that he can't stop. He can't slow down. He can't take his time. He can't dilly-daddle. Can I say it like that? So the person that's in the world, you can't take your time to make this choice because someone is after you and you don't know how long it will be until they overtake you and exact upon you the revenge and because of the inability to fully obey the law that we have in the Old Testament, that person has legal right to take your life. The soul that sins will surely die. But he knows, if I can just make it to the city of refuge, I'll be all right. And then he knows the scripture as well. He knows this, that the scripture also says that, and when the high priest who's serving the nation of Israel in that day, when he dies, those people in that city of refuge can go home. I believe that's another picture of Jesus. When the high priest dies, we can go home. Now, in this case, our home actually is with him. Saints, I just really believe that the Old Testament has some wonderful pictures of what God has done for us fully because he loves us. I want us to turn to Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to conclude with this. Chris, you can come back. Colossians 2. Now, if you haven't circled some of the things on those papers, do it now. If you need a pen, if your neighbor, if you look around, if you see somebody's hand raised, you need a pen, or you need one of those papers, just find one. I just love it. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. Actually, the writer of Psalm 91 wrote it 3 times that He is their refuge. Colossians 2. The Lord help us. I'm going to begin in verse 9. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. In Jesus all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. And you've been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. I just want you to know He's the King. Every knee bows and every tongue confesses that He's Lord. And that's going to happen with the adversary as well. In Him you also were circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision that's done by Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism and raised with Him through your faith in the power of God who raised Him from the dead. Now look at these next few verses. When you were dead in your sins, and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature. Do you get that? There's the offense. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ, and he forgave us all our sins. Now listen to this. Having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us, he took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Now, if you have circled those things, I want you to stand, please. If you've got your paper ready, all you need is your piece of paper in your hand. I need a couple of ushers. Could you come help me, please? Couple ushers. Would you help me get that open? Okay. You need to get that open. All right. And then when you get them, and maybe somebody with a pocket knife. Tape. We can't get in two boxes of pins. Okay, ushers, just put a handful in your hand, each of you. No, it's okay. Yeah, everybody get a handful of pins. All right, this is what we're doing. You take your paper and you come up and you get a push pin, everybody, and you stick it to the cross, okay? Start high, do the arms of the cross, do low, but just go ahead and thumbtack, push pin your sins to the cross.
Here is love, vast as the ocean.
And you can return to your seats and we'll pray.
Kindness as the flood, when the prince of life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood.
Now don't write your name on that paper.
Here is love, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When the prince of life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. And who his love will not remember? Who can cease to sing his praise? He can never be forgotten.
Cover the cross.
Throughout heaven's eternal days. On the mount of crucifixion, fountains open deep and wide, and through the floodgates of God's mercy flowed a vast and gracious tide. Grace and love like mighty rivers pour incessant from above. Heaven's peace and perfect justice kissed a guilty world in love. And who his love will not remember? Who can cease to sing his praise? He can never be forgotten throughout heaven's eternal days.
Cover the cross.
No No love is truer, no love is higher, no love is wider, no love is like your love, oh Lord. No love is higher, no love is wider, no love is deeper, no love is truer, no love is higher, no love is wider, no love is like your love, oh Lord. Here is love, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. And when the Prince of Life, our ransom, He shed for us His precious blood.
Let's stand. Bow with me. Now, actually, don't bow yet. Look at the cross. Now, that's just one church. Think of all mankind. That's where it is. He's washed our sin away. We have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We're clean. The avenger of blood has no more legal right to us because He took it. He nailed it to the cross. He paid our debt. He put it all on His shoulders. He took every bit of it. The slate's clean. The slate's clean. The slate is clean. You know what? It's even clean when you're still stubborn tomorrow. You understand that? I'm still stubborn sometimes. We can freely go before Him. We made it. We
right.
made it to the city of refuge.
Right.
We're safe. You can go. Want that avenger of blood chasing me? Let's bow our heads. Father, we just thank You. Thanks that You loved us so much that when we were enemies, while we were yet sinners, You sent Your Son for us to die on our behalf. Thank You, Lord, that that all the sins of mankind You placed on His shoulders. So He bore our sin. We thank You for it. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. And by His stripes we're healed. Thank You for it, Lord. We say thank You. Can we say thank You? Thank You, Lord. Thank You. You did it. You took ours. You took mine. Now with your head still bowed, is there anybody here among us you had never asked the Lord to take your sins? Just slip your hand up and said, I'd never done that. Anybody here? Slip your hand up and said, I had never, ever done that. Okay. God, we love You. We thank You for what You've done. Last of all, Lord, I just pray, place the ministry of reconciliation on our shoulders and put that message within our hearts and within our mouths that we'll share it with others. And Lord, cause it to burn within us until we do look to see others around us, whether they're neighbors or family members or co-workers or whomever, Lord, that we would know that we have a message to share with them, a message. Put that fire in our bones, I pray, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm done. Chris, I don't know what else you need to do. Prayer teamers,
yeah.
Come on up. If, If anybody needs prayer for some reason, the prayer team
would
be more than happy to pray for you.
Right. And we'll keep worshiping here just a minute. If you'd like to stay and pray and worship, you're welcome to. Otherwise, we'll see you Wednesday night at Mini Church.